Welcome to day 268 of my Everyday Bible. This is Rita Langland, your host, and I welcome you back to my Everyday Bible and our journey through the Word of God. Today we will be completing the book of Ezra. We actually began the book of Ezra some days ago. As you know, we are trying to go through the Bible in a chronological order. So we read parts of the book of Ezra, and then Haggai, then Zechariah, and then we read yesterday, or completed Esther yesterday. And the reason we're doing parts of it is because we're trying to follow the chronological time frame of the events that are occurring historically in the Bible. So when we began the book of Ezra almost 2 weeks ago, the opening of that book took us to the place and time of Cyrus, king of Persia. He was one of the Persian kings who had conquered Babylon, and he was the one that God mightily used to send back the Jews to Jerusalem to rebuild the house of God. He was the man that had been prophesied about by Isaiah the prophet nearly 200 years before he was even born. And that was how the book of Ezra opened, telling us about the edict that Cyrus, king of Persia, had declared, telling the Jewish captives in Babylon, 70 years after they had gone into captivity, that they were free to return to Jerusalem. And then, as you know, they returned, they began to rebuild the temple, opposition arose, the temple work was stopped because of those enemies, and for almost 16 years, no work was done on the temple. Then enter Haggai the prophet, who exhorted them, rebuked them to continue what God had told them to do. And then Zechariah also came on the scene, encouraging them to continue. And so they picked the work up again, and again enemies arose, and again, word was sent back to the king of Babylon, who by that time was no longer Cyrus. Now it was Darius the Mede. Darius searched the records and found out, yes, indeed, Cyrus had ordered that the Jews be allowed to rebuild that temple. And therefore, he sent word back to Jerusalem, and the enemies had to be silenced, and the work on the temple began again, and it was completed in less than 4 years. The temple was dedicated with great joy, as you'll remember from our narrative. Now we are going to see the entrance of the man named Ezra, the man for whom this book is named, and he comes on the scene. And about a year after the temple dedication, Ezra, who was a scribe, a scholar, a lover of the Word of God, and a teacher of the Word of God, was going to make the journey from Babylon back to Jerusalem. And you're going to hear how the king, who is at this time a third king now, Artaxerxes, which is believed to be the same as Ahasuerus, the king in the book of Esther, who was actually Artaxerxes the first historically. This man, undoubtedly influenced by Esther, his Jewish wife, allowed Ezra the scribe to go and sent orders for him to be not harassed at all and to actually be helped in his mission, and sent him with orders to teach the law of God to the people. And he had much authority as he goes back to Jerusalem. That's where we open today in Ezra chapter 7. And I want you to listen carefully as these chapters are read from 7 to 10, which will complete the book of Ezra, because I want you to note a few important attributes of this amazing man named Ezra. Number one, he was a great and devoted lover of the Word of God. Secondly, the hand of the Lord was upon him. Thirdly, he was appalled when he gets to Jerusalem and sees how far the people of God, the Jews, had strayed from obeying the Word of God. And he has a mission to see them obey the Lord's word. So watch for these attributes of his leadership and his love of the word of God and how God uses him mightily for a spiritual revival of the people who have returned to Jerusalem. So beginning at Ezra chapter 7, starting at the first verse. We're reading today from the New American Standard Bible. Now after these things, in the reign of Artaxerxes, king of Persia, there went up Ezra, son of Sariah, son of Azariah, son of Hilkiah, son of Shallum, son of Zadok, son of Ahitub, son of Amariah, son of Azariah, son of Merioth, son of Zerahiah, son of Uzi, son of Buki, son of Abishua, son of Phinehas, son of Eleazar, son of Aaron, the chief priest. This Ezra went up from Babylon, and he was a scribe, skilled in the law of Moses, which the Lord God of Israel had given. And the king granted him all he requested, because the hand of the Lord his God was upon him. Some of the sons of Israel and some of the priests, the Levites, the singers, the gatekeepers, and the temple servants went up to Jerusalem in the seventh year of King Artaxerxes. He came to Jerusalem in the fifth month, which was in the seventh year of the king. For on the first of the first month, he began to go up from Babylon, and on the first of the fifth month, he came to Jerusalem, because the good hand of his God was upon him. For Ezra had set his heart to study the law of the Lord and to practice it and to teach his statutes and ordinances in Israel. Now this is the copy of the decree which King Artaxerxes gave to Ezra the priest, the scribe, learned in the words of the commandments of the Lord and his statutes to Israel. Artaxerxes, king of kings, to Ezra the priest, the scribe of the law of the God of heaven, perfect peace. And now I have issued a decree that any of the people of Israel and their priests and the Levites in my kingdom who are willing to go to Jerusalem may go with you. For as much as you are sent by the king and his seven counselors to inquire concerning Judah and Jerusalem, according to the law of your God, which is in your hand, and to bring the silver and gold, which the king and his counselors have freely offered to the God of Israel, whose dwelling is in Jerusalem, with all the silver and gold which you find in the whole province of Babylon, along with the freewill offering of the people and of the priests who offered willingly for the house of their God, which is in Jerusalem. With this money, therefore, you shall diligently buy bulls, rams, and lambs with their grain offerings and their drink offerings, and offer them on the altar of the house of your God, which is in Jerusalem. Whatever seems good to you and to your brothers to do with the rest of the silver and gold, you may do according to the will of your God. Also, the utensils which are given to you for the service of the house of your God, deliver in full before the God of Jerusalem. The rest of the needs of the house of your God, for which you may have occasion to provide, provide for it from the royal treasury. I, King Artaxerxes, issue a decree to all the treasurers who are in the provinces beyond the river, that whatever Ezra the priest, the scribe of the law of the God of heaven, may require of you, it shall be done diligently. Even up to 100 talents of silver, 100 cores of wheat, 100 baths of wine, 100 baths of oil, and salt as needed. Whatever is commanded by the God of heaven, let it be done with zeal for the house of the God of heaven, so that there will not be wrath against the kingdom of the king and his sons. We also inform you that it is not allowed to impose tax, tribute, or toll on any of the priests, Levites, singers, doorkeepers, Nethinim, or servants of this house of God. You, Ezra, according to the wisdom of your God, which is in your hand, appoint magistrates and judges, that they may judge all the people who are in the province beyond the river, even all those who know the laws of your God, and you may teach anyone who is ignorant of them. Whoever will not observe the law of your God and the law of the king, let judgment be executed upon him strictly, whether for death or for banishment or for confiscation of goods or for imprisonment. Blessed be the Lord, the God of our fathers, who has put such a thing as this in the king's heart, to adorn the house of the Lord which is in Jerusalem, and has extended loving kindness to me before the king and his counselors, and before all the king's mighty princes. Thus I was strengthened according to the hand of the Lord my God upon me, and I gathered leading men from Israel to go up with me. Chapter 8. Now these are the heads of their fathers' households, and the genealogical enrollment of those who went up with me from Babylon in the reign of King Artaxerxes. Of the sons of Phinehas, Gershom. Of the sons of Ithamar, Daniel. Of the sons of David, Hattush. Of the sons of Shechaniah, who was of the sons of Parash, Zechariah, and with him 150 males who were in the genealogical list. Of the sons of Pahath-Moab, Eliohonai, the son of Zariah, and 200 males with him. Of the sons of Zattu, Shechaniah, the son of Jehaziel, and 300 males with him. And of the sons of Adin, Ebed, the son of Jonathan, and 50 males with him. And of the sons of Elam, Jeshiah, the son of Athaliah, and 70 males with him. And of the sons of Shephatiah, Zebediah, the son of Michael, and 80 males with him. Of the sons of Joab, Obadiah, the son of Jehiel, and 218 males with him. And of the sons of Bani, Shelomith, the son of Josephiah, and 160 males with him. And of the sons of Bebai, Zechariah, the son of Bebai, and 28 males with him. And of the sons of Azgad, Johanan, the son of Hakatan, and 110 males with him. And of the sons of Adonikam, the last ones, these being their names, Eliphelet, Jeuel, and Shemaiah, and 60 males with them. And of the sons of Bigvai, Uthai, and Zabud, and 70 males with them. Now I assembled them at the river that runs to Ahava, where we camped for 3 days. And when I observed the people and the priests, I did not find any Levites there. So I sent for Eleazar, Ariel, Shemaiah, Elnathan, Jarib, Elnathan, Nathan, Zechariah, Meshulam, leading men, and for Joiarib and Elnathan, teachers. I sent them to Edo, the leading man at the place, Casiphia, and I told them what to say to Edo and his brothers, the temple servants at the place, Casiphia, that is, to bring ministers to us for the house of our God. According to the good hand of our God upon us, they brought us a man of insight, of the sons of Mali, the son of Levi, the son of Israel, namely Sherebiah, and his sons and brothers, 18 men, and Hashabiah and Jeshiah of the sons of Merari, with his brothers and their sons, 20 men, and 220 of the temple servants whom David and the princes had given for the service of the Levites, all of them designated by name. Then I proclaimed a fast there at the river of Ahava, that we might humble ourselves before our God to seek from him a safe journey for us, our little ones, and all our possessions. for I was ashamed to request from the king troops and horsemen to protect us from the enemy on the way, because we had said to the king, "The hand of our God is favorably disposed to all those who seek him, but his power and his anger are against all those who forsake him." So we fasted and sought our God concerning this matter, and he listened to our entreaty. Then I set apart 12 of the leading priests, Sherebiah, Hashabiah, and with them 10 of their brothers. And I weighed out to them the silver, the gold, and the utensils, the offering for the house of our God, which the king and his counselors and his princes and all Israel present there had offered. Thus I weighed into their hands 650 talents of silver, and silver utensils worth 100 talents, and 100 gold talents, and 20 gold bowls worth 1,000 derricks, and 2 utensils of fine shiny bronze, precious as gold. Then I said to them, "You are holy to the Lord, and the utensils are holy, and the silver and the gold are a freewill offering to the Lord God of your fathers. Watch and keep them until you weigh them before the leading priests, the Levites, and the heads of the fathers' households of Israel at Jerusalem in the chambers of the house of the Lord." So the priests and the Levites accepted the weighed out silver and gold and the utensils to bring them to Jerusalem to the house of our God. Then we journeyed from the river Ahava on the 12th of the first month to go to Jerusalem. And the hand of our God was over us, and he delivered us from the hand of the enemy and the ambushes by the way. Thus we came to Jerusalem and remained there 3 days. On the 4th day, the silver and the gold and the utensils were weighed out in the house of our God into the hand of Meremoth, the son of Uriah the priest, and with him was Eleazar the son of Phinehas, and with them were the Levites, Jozabad the son of Jeshua, and Noadiah the son of Binui. Everything was numbered and weighed, and all the weight was recorded at that time. The exiles who had come from the captivity offered burnt offerings to the God of Israel, 12 bulls for all Israel, 96 rams, 77 lambs, 12 male goats for a sin offering, all as a burnt offering to the Lord. When they delivered the king's edicts to the king's satraps and to the governors in the provinces beyond the river, and they supported the people and the house of God. Chapter 9. Now when these things had been completed, the princes approached me, saying, "The people of Israel and the priests and the Levites have not separated themselves from the peoples of the lands according to their abominations, those of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Perizzites, the Jebusites, the Ammonites, the Moabites, the Egyptians, and the Amorites. For they have taken some of their daughters as wives for themselves and for their sons, so that the holy race has intermingled with the peoples of the lands. Indeed, the hands of the princes and the rulers have been foremost in this unfaithfulness." When I heard about this matter, I tore my garment and my robe and pulled some of the hair from my head and my beard and sat down appalled. Then everyone who trembled at the words of the God of Israel on account of the unfaithfulness of the exiles gathered to me, and I sat appalled until the evening offering. But at the evening offering, I arose from my humiliation, even with my garment and my robe torn, and I fell on my knees and stretched out my hands to the Lord my God. And I said, "Oh my God, I am ashamed and embarrassed to lift up my face to you, my God, for our iniquities have risen above our heads and our guilt has grown even to the heavens. Since the days of our fathers to this day, we have been in great guilt, and on account of our iniquities, we, our kings and our priests, have been given into the hand of the kings of the lands, to the sword, to the captivity, and to plunder, and to open shame, as it is this day. But now, for a brief moment, grace has been shown from the Lord our God to leave us an escaped remnant and to give us a peg in his holy place, that our God may enlighten our eyes and grant us a little reviving in our bondage. For we are slaves, yet in our bondage our God has not forsaken us, but has extended loving kindness to us in the sight of the kings of Persia, to give us reviving, to raise up the house of our God, to restore its ruins, and to give us a wall in Judah and Jerusalem. Now, our God, what shall we say after this? For we have forsaken your commandments, which you have commanded by your servants the prophets, saying, the land which you are entering to possess is an unclean land, with the uncleanness of the peoples of the lands, with their abominations which have filled it from end to end, and with their impurity. So now do not give your daughters to their sons, nor take their daughters to your sons, and never seek their peace or their prosperity, that you may be strong and eat the good things of the land and leave it as an inheritance to your sons forever. After all that has come upon us for our evil deeds and our great guilt, since you, our God, have requited us less than our iniquities deserve and have given us an escape remnant as this, shall we again break your commandments and intermarry with the peoples who commit these abominations? Would you not be angry with us to the point of destruction until there is no remnant nor any who escape? O Lord God of Israel, you are righteous, for we have been left an escape remnant as it is this day. Behold, we are before you in our guilt, for no one can stand before you because of this. Chapter 10. Now while Ezra was praying and making confession, weeping and prostrating himself before the house of God, a very large assembly, men, women, and children, gathered to him from Israel, for the people wept bitterly. Shechaniah, the son of Jehiel, one of the sons of Elam, said to Ezra, "We have been unfaithful to our God and have married foreign women from the peoples of the land. Yet now there is hope for Israel in spite of this. So now let us make a covenant with our God to put away all the wives and their children, according to the counsel of my Lord and of those who tremble at the commandment of our God, and let it be done according to the law. Arise, for this matter is your responsibility, but we will be with you. Be courageous and act." Then Ezra rose and made the leading priest, the Levites, and all Israel take oath that they would do according to this proposal. So they took the oath. Then Ezra rose from before the house of God and went into the chamber of Jehohanan, the son of Eliashib. Although he went there, he did not eat bread nor drink water, for he was mourning over the unfaithfulness of the exiles. They made a proclamation throughout Judah and Jerusalem to all the exiles that they should assemble at Jerusalem, and that whoever would not come within 3 days, according to the counsel of the leaders and the elders, all his possessions should be forfeited and he himself excluded from the assembly of the exiles. So all the men of Judah and Benjamin assembled at Jerusalem within the 3 days. It was the 9th month on the 20th of the month, and all the people sat in the open square before the house of God, trembling because of this matter and the heavy rain. Then Ezra the priest stood up and said to them, you have been unfaithful and have married foreign wives, adding to the guilt of Israel. Now, therefore, make confession to the Lord God of your fathers and do his will, and separate yourselves from the peoples of the land and from the foreign wives. Then all the assembly replied with a loud voice, "That's right, as you have said, so it is our duty to do. But there are many people. It is the rainy season, and we are not able to stand in the open, nor can the task be done in 1 or 2 days, for we have transgressed greatly in this matter. Let our leaders represent the whole assembly, and let all those in our cities who have married foreign wives come at appointed times, together with the elders and judges of each city, until the fierce anger of our God on account of this matter is turned away from us. Only Jonathan, the son of Asahel, and Jaaziah, the son of Tikvah, opposed this, with Meshulam and Shabbathai, the Levites, supporting them. But the exiles did so, and Ezra the priest selected men who were heads of fathers' households for each of their fathers' households, all of them by name. So they convened on the first day of the 10th month to investigate the matter. They finished investigating all the men who had married foreign wives by the first day of the first month. Among the sons of the priests who had married foreign wives were found, of the sons of Jeshua, the son of Jozadak, and his brothers, Maaseiah, Eleazar, Jarib, and Gedaliah. They pledged to put away their wives, and being guilty, they offered a ram of the flock for their offense. Of the sons of Immer, there were Hanani and Zebediah, and of the sons of Harim, Maaseiah, Elijah, Shemaiah, Jehiel, and Uzziah. And of the sons of Pashur, Elionai, Maaseiah, Ishmael, Nathanael, Jozabad, and Elisha. Of Levites, there were Jozabad, Shimei, Keliah, that is Kelita, Pethahiah, Judah, and Eleazar. Of the singers, there was Eliashib, and of the gatekeepers, Shalum, Telem, and Uri. Of Israel, of the sons of Parash, there were Ramiah, Isaiah, Melchijah, Mijamin, Eleazar, Melchijah, and Benaiah. And of the sons of Elam, Mattaniah, Zechariah, Jehiel, Abdi, Jeremoth, and Elijah. And of the sons of Zatu, Elionai, Eliashib, Mattaniah, Jeremoth, Zabad, and Azizah. And of the sons of Babai, Jehohanan, Hananiah, Zabai, and Athlai. And of the sons of Bani, Meshulam, Maluk, and Adiah, Jashub, Sheel, and Jeremoth. And of the sons of Bahath Moab, Adna, Chelal, Benaiah, Maaseiah, Mattaniah, Bezalel, Benui, and Manasseh. And of the sons of Harim, Eleazar, Ishijah, Malchijah, Shemaiah, Shimeon, Benjamin, Maluk, and Shemariah. Of the sons of Hashum, Mattaniah, Mattatah, Zabad, Eliphelet, Jeremiah, Manasseh, and Shimei. Of the sons of Bani, Madai, Amram, Uel, Benaiah, Bediah, Cheluhi, Vanaya, Meramoth, Eliashib, Mattaniah, Mattanai, Jaasu, Bani, Benui, Shimei, Shelemiah, Nathan, Adiah, Machnadibai, Shashai, Sharai, Azarel, Shelemiah, Shemariah, Shalom, Amariah, and Joseph. Of the sons of Nebo, they were Jael, Mattathiah, Zabad, Zabina, Jedai, Joel, and Benaiah. All these had married foreign wives, and some of them had wives by whom they had children. This is the end of the book of Ezra and the end of today's scripture reading. The book of Ezra ends with the people of Israel complying with a very difficult and really heartbreaking commandment Ezra brings to them from the Lord, based on the word of God, the law of God, that they will divorce all foreign wives and put away even their children. That seems almost cruel, I'm sure, in light of today's society, but consider that this was done in order to protect the people of Israel from becoming a mixed people like the Samaritans, who had been originally of Jewish origin, and then with the Assyrian captivity and then the Assyrian invasion into Jerusalem and population of Jerusalem after the people went into captivity, they intermarried with the Assyrians. So the Samaritan people were essentially ethnically a mixture of Assyrians and Jewish people, so no longer purely a Jewish nation. So in order to prevent that from occurring and the people of the Jewish nation being mixed with other people groups, and according to the word of God that forbade them from intermarrying with other peoples, Ezra brought this very difficult word, and yet the people responded and obeyed, which was an amazing thing. And so you can imagine how sorrowful it was on that bleak winter day when it's raining, heavy rain, it said. They're being soaked to the skin. They're all standing in the courtyard of the temple and listening to what they're going to have to do, which is separate themselves from their wives and children if they've married these pagan wives. So that was a difficult word that Ezra brought to the people. We're going to hear more about Ezra when we begin the book of Nehemiah tomorrow, and we will cover the book of Nehemiah in 4 days. So you'll hear Ezra's name again. But I want to just bring to your attention in these last few minutes of our broadcast two outstanding character qualities that we see about the man Ezra brought to us in today's reading. And I'll begin with one that we find in the very first chapter that I read, which was chapter 7. So from Ezra 7, verse 10, we find the most, you could say, outstanding characteristic of Ezra, and it's one that we should desire for our own lives. It says in verse 10 of chapter 7, "For Ezra had set his heart to study the law of the Lord and to practice it and to teach his statutes and ordinances in Israel." You could say that this sums up who Ezra was as a man. He was a man who set his heart to study the word of God, to practice it in his own life, and to teach it to others. That is a high praise for any man. And yet the word of God describes Ezra in that way. He was a man who set his heart to study, to know in the depths of his being the word of God, and to practice it, to live it, to have it operational in his life, not to be just head knowledge, but to be a doer of the word and not a hearer only. And then thirdly, that he desired to teach what God's word said to the people. You know, you can be a teacher of God's word without being a preacher or a Bible scholar or a professor in a school of theology. You can be one who shares God's word and how it works in a person's everyday life with those around you, with your own family, with your neighbor, with your co-worker, with your schoolmate, with whoever God places in your life. You can be a teacher of God's word by setting your own heart to study it, to practice it, and then when people ask you, what is it about you? Why do you do that? You can be, like Ezra, a teacher of God's word to others. That was probably one of the most outstanding characteristics of this man, Ezra, and it was the driving force in his life. And it led him to make this perilous journey back to Jerusalem from Babylon. Remember, the distance from Babylon to Israel, to Jerusalem, the city of Jerusalem, is approximately 700 miles over essentially desert terrain. In a time when there's no vehicles, you're walking on foot or on a donkey or a horse, if you happen to have that luxury, and making a 700-mile journey. How does a person even carry provision for that length of a journey? And then the very well-known dangers that were facing anybody who tried to make that journey were bandits, robbers, marauding bands that looked for opportunity to swoop down on travelers and plunder everything they carried with them. So imagine this picture. Ezra determines in his heart to make this journey. And if you actually counted up from the genealogy that you heard in during our reading of who accompanied him on this journey, the total amounts to 1,754. But that was only males that were registered or recorded for us in the scriptures. They took their wives and children, and if you just took averages of an average family at that time, it would be most likely that the group that was moving from Babylon to Jerusalem on this journey was closer to 8,000. That's a big group. Now, it's not nearly as large as the first wave of people that went in that original group with Zerubbabel and Joshua, who went back when Cyrus the Persian gave that order that they could return to rebuild the temple, but it was still a large group of people, 8,000 approximately. Now, add to that that they were carrying tremendous amount of treasure with them. They had silver, they had gold, they had just this amazing amount of money that they were carrying for the purpose of the offerings to the Lord and to take care of their needs, to do the work that the king had ordered them. So they had things with them that would certainly be targets, make them targets on such a journey through a barren wilderness. Now, this brings us to the second attribute about Ezra that I want to bring to your attention. Just before they were about to leave, and they had all camped out at a place by the river Ahava, we find in chapter 8, starting at 21, this record that I want to bring to your attention. These are the words from verse 21 to 23. Then I proclaimed a fast there at the river of Ahava, that we might humble ourselves before our God to seek from him a safe journey for us, our little ones, and all our possessions. For I was ashamed to request from the king troops and horsemen to protect us from the enemy on the way, because we had said to the king, "The hand of our God is favorably disposed to all those who seek him, but his power and his anger are against all those who forsake him." So we fasted and sought our God concerning this matter, and he listened to our entreaty. So the situation was that Ezra knew that they were undertaking a very dangerous, perilous journey. And he was ashamed. He's so honest in this account, which is believed to have been written by Ezra himself. He was so honest. He said, "I was ashamed to request from the king troops and horsemen to protect us from the enemy, because I had told him the hand of our God is favorably disposed to those who seek him." So he had made these faith-filled proclamations before the king that God was the one who takes care of the people who seek him. And he didn't want to be so faithless as to require an army to guard and protect and escort him back to Jerusalem in complete contradiction to what he had just told the king. So he wisely invoked through prayer the protection of God. It says we fasted, we prayed, and we asked God to protect us. And this shows us that Ezra did have a great trust in God. He had a great faith in God, but he's human. And he was shaking in his boots, but he did trust God's character beyond natural circumstances. And I tell you this to say, I love this example of a man who faces definite problems, circumstances, difficulties, true danger in his life. And yet he had the opportunity to take matters into his own hands and try to get soldiers to protect him. He had the ear of the king. The king was giving him finances and permission and a letter of authority. He had the king's ear. He could have asked for troops to accompany him. He could have. The king would have given it. But he wanted to walk by faith. He wanted his words and his deeds to match up. And so he didn't try to take matters into his own hands, protect himself through natural means. He decided he was going to just rely on God. If this was a mission of God, God was able to protect him. And so through fasting and prayer, he requested God's provision, protection, supernatural divine protection. And as he states here, he listened to our entreaty. And I love what the commentary on the whole Bible says about this, that for such a large body, meaning the group that went with Ezra, of some thousands of men, women, and children, unaccustomed to travel, undisciplined to order, and without military strength, and with so large an amount of treasure, tempting the cupidity of the marauding, plundering tribes of the desert, to accomplish a journey so long and so arduous in perfect safety is one of the most astonishing events recorded in history. Now, I quote that to say, Ezra trusted God and God honored his faith. And that's a word for us. God wants us to be a lover of his word as Ezra was, and God wants us to be a believer in God's goodness and God's faithfulness, one who's able to trust in the faithfulness of God. That's God's call on our lives. We are to be Ezra's in our generation, ones who love God's word so much, practice God's word in our own lives and teach it to others, and then ones who are willing to trust the Lord for our protection and our provision in our everyday life. And we will be like Ezra, one who can say, the hand of our God was upon us. That will be your testimony as well as it was Ezra's testimony. The good hand of our God was upon us. God bless you and give you a faith-filled, God-filled, word-filled week. Don't forget to go to our Facebook page at My Everyday Bible and like us on Facebook, send us a message on how you're enjoying it. And if you like, you can email us at Rita, R-I-T-A, at myeverydaybible.com.